Taiwan special, episode one for the week. Oh my goodness, I've got to change this here. There we go. I had the podcast weekly logo showing on the YouTube channel. That's terrible. It's such a gaffe. Both YouTube viewers will see that and they'll be terribly confused. I'm so sorry for this. I can't even tolerate it myself. Fast announcement, PacificityTimes.com. I'm adding tweaks to it. I'm beefing it up. Please look at it. Go there for your news. Pacific Daily Times, all one word, .com. I'm putting articles there. They appear in order. Stuff that I think is a little more important might be bold or big or both. And articles that were added the same day, UTC time, by the way, have a brighter color. Please make it useful. Tell your friends about it. This is something that I've been wanting to do for 7 years, and I've got it going. Okay, I'm not going to ramble about that. Lots to talk about in the Taiwan thing here. Look, in Hong Kong, go to PacificityTimes.com. One of the articles from this past week was from The Atlantic. Look in the Hong Kong section. There's some larger print, bold-faced articles. They're all worth reading. That's why I shared them. It's all important news. But those were some really good articles. The Atlantic explains a lot, and then there were a few other things. The Financial Times had a statement from the last British governor of Hong Kong. Very, very interesting what's happening. And I'm going to be talking about that throughout the Taiwan special this week. And I might even do a feature Friday. I'm toying with the idea. I'm going to see if I can get through all this without having to do a feature Friday. In the Atlantic article over at the Atlantic, my nemesis. See, I'm Mr. Pacific Daily Times. I know, you just stick to the issues, guys. You got to have friendly rivalry. See, I'm the Pacific Daily Times guy. And then there's a newspaper called The Atlantic. Now, what am I supposed to make out of that? I'm supposed to pretend that we're rivals, right? Because I'm Pacific. Okay, well, let's have some tongue-in-cheek stuff with this. My perspective being in Taiwan. See, in The Atlantic article, really, really good article. I hate to say this about such a horrible foe, me being Pacific and them being Atlantic. Okay, it really is a good article, I have to say. In the article is this picture of some Taiwanese flags being waved around at the protests in Hong Kong. Okay, now, see, I lived in Taiwan 10 years, and I have something to say about that. See, the guy in the picture who's there with the flag or with the Taiwanese waving the flag, there's this guy, he's a little middle-aged, a little bit, you know, he's got furniture disease, you know, where your chest falls into your drawers. Got a little long, messed up hair, kind of balding a little bit. It's a middle-aged guy. I've met him. I've seen him on the streets in Hong Kong. I was there in Causeway Bay a few years back when this guy was with the group of yellow shirt young people in their early to mid 20s carrying some banner about something or other. He's standing out there acting all important, just like he is in the picture. I knew the Sunflower students from Taiwan. I know what protesters are like in Taiwan and in Hong Kong. I know their culture. I know the young people that are politically active. It's very different from anything I've ever seen in America. Polite, educated, they know their laws and have it memorized. They don't complain about how bad people are treating them. They talk about what they're going to lay down because they have to help others, and we have to have laws that will make everybody rich. We have to have laws that give people permission to make themselves rich. You can't tell people, you can't make yourself rich, but that's what laws do to people that say, they did it to us. So there are other things too, you know, protecting democracy, not having Chinese control over everything. And they're very, very knowledgeable young people, and they have a certain culture and attitude and an intelligence about them. None of that was there in these yellow shirts in Hong Kong. They were wearing shirts that had entirely different words than the Sunflower Students in Taiwan. And I talked to them. Well, at least I tried. I tried English. They didn't know English. I tried Mandarin. They didn't know Mandarin. These guys are supposedly from Taiwan and they don't know Mandarin. They speak Mandarin in Taiwan. In fact, when I tried, they didn't look like they're from Hong Kong, kind of dark skinned people. I almost wonder if they were from Cambodia or the Philippines or Thailand. I'm over here in the neighborhood and, I don't want to get into a whole thing. See, if I say that I can guess different Asian countries, Asians get mad about that. And I had a Taiwanese girl ask me what my ethnic background was. And I told her, I said, well, I'm Scots, Irish, English, Welsh, French, Canadian, British, Canadian, French colonial, Shoshone, French aristocracy. And also, I probably have Cherokee more than anything else. I was delighted to tell what my ethnic background is. You talk about Asian ethnic backgrounds like they get mad. So I don't want to go there, but I know what Taiwanese look like. And these weren't Taiwanese. They didn't speak Taiwanese type languages. They didn't nothing. I wanted to ask them why they were there. They were mad at me for wasting their time. How dare I go up to a protester and ask him why he's protesting, right? See, they were mad at me. So the guy in the picture kind of stands there and acts important, but doesn't talk about anything. He just stands there and acts important. And that goes, then I met them shortly after, I think it was 2014. I think it was after the umbrella movement. They occupied the streets in Central for like 3 months. They're fake protesters. It's a rent-a-mob. I don't know how else to explain it. I don't know what else would explain it. That's my conclusion. I don't have factual data. I don't have a pay stub for this or anything like that. But nothing else fits the story because those are not Taiwanese. Not from the Taiwanese I've known at all. I can't communicate with them like Taiwanese. And they're mad if I ask them why they're protesting. He looked at me like I'm the rude guy. I'm the one that doesn't get it. And he just looks at his phone and keeps playing on his phone. That's someone who's paid to be there, folks. So the guy in the picture with the Taiwanese flag, he's fake. And I know that. I mean, that's my conclusion anyway. I don't want to pretend that I have certifiable evidence of this. But I think he's a fake. He sure smells and acts like a fake. And the guys in the Atlantic aren't going to know that. Because Hong Kong's in the Pacific, on the other side of the Pacific, and they're over the Atlantic. So that's the reason why you've got to get your news from Mr. Pacific Daily Times. That was an interesting story. That's an interesting perspective. A couple other things. The Hong Kong students broke into their legislature. And there's a lot of suspicion about how all that happened. The police were there in front of LegCo, the Legislative Council. You know, you're in Hong Kong. It's a small little place. There's only 5 million people. Everybody knows kind of everybody, sort of. And they're all friends. I mean, they don't all know each other, but they're like instant family. It's really a delightful city that China's ruining. And they all went to LegCo, the Legislative Council. It'd be like the Capitol building, but it's smaller and more techie. And the police were there, and like 4 a.m. or something, 9 p.m. something in at night. No, I 4 p.m. I don't know my timelines. There was a time when they went in, there was a time when they left, and they went in and then left quickly. And all of a sudden the police just vanished. They just left. And the students just had a cakewalk right in the door. They left money for the food that they took out of the refrigerators and stuff. They didn't steal anything in the library or that type of stuff. like they put signs on the refrigerators, I do believe, you know, we're not stealing stuff here. But they sprayed graffiti all over the walls saying, we're not China, free Hong Kong. This, you know, and they kind of, probably in their opinion, marked the walls to paint the place for what it has truly become. That's where, in their opinion, that's what it looks like they did. So that was very interesting. In America, they'd send in cops to shoot, kill, and gas them. In Asia, there's too much respect for human rights. And see, America has this attitude, ha! You do the right thing and inconvenience me when I want to do the wrong thing, and you break the law to stop me from breaking more important laws. Ha! I'm going to shoot and beat you down, and I'm right to do it. That's the attitude in America. In Asia, it's, we don't beat people. If a massive mob comes and wrongfully disrupts our government from our own country, our own citizens disrupting our own government, we need to move them out of the way, but we do not beat and bloody people when the masses have chosen to disrupt their own rogue government. We don't do that in Asia. And this was a cultural misunderstanding difference thing that was going on with the Taiwan students in the Sunflower Movements, you know, back in 2014. And there was this guy that was working at the America's office, the AIT, the American Institute at Taiwan. Taiwan isn't in a country, so it doesn't have an embassy. It has an institute. Yeah. There was a guy that had been working there for some 20 years. And people asked him, what do you think about these students? He said, in America, we'd go send in the cops and beat them, wouldn't let this happen. The guy had been working in America's government offices in Taiwan for 20 years. And they asked him what he thought about the Taiwan students. And his comment was about how it wouldn't be tolerated in America. He didn't comment on how, you know, why Taiwanese culture was the way it was, how it's good that police don't want to go bloody and beat and shoot people, how maybe there's something that we can learn about that, maybe something to learn from others about, maybe to take half of 1% back home and be nicer to people. There's nothing at all like that. Not even nothing, zero to learn, but this is why it's happened. Nothing, just it wouldn't happen in America. That's a guy who worked in an ambassador's job, in an ambassador's type of job. It's not an ambassador because Taiwan's not a country. We don't send an ambassador. We send a director. Uh-huh. Right. But he did embassy type work. But he never understood the country that he was in because people that work in embassies live in bubbles. And we had the same British ambassador talking smack about Trump. And again, it's not from understanding, it's that he sees a little bit of the dirt from this other country, sees a little bit of the yelling. It's a yelling family. I grew up in a yelling family. Italians can be yelling also. A yelling family. They love each other, but they yell. They talk loudly. What are you doing? And he sees the yelling family in the White House, this calm British gentleman. I don't see how someone who's so ill-mannered as the president can possibly survive. However, I do believe that he could have a path to re-election, and Britain needs to be very, very scared because he's going to make it so people don't want to reverse Brexit and go back to the EU. So you had a guy that saw some of the real skin and pimples and natural bad breath in the White House and used that knowledge and used... No, this was leaked, like the British ambassador was saying bad stuff about Trump. And that's how I view this. He saw the real life normal stuff happening in the White House And he took those details, and then he took his time as an ambassador to act like he's some expert. And then he used that to talk about why Trump is bad and dangerous to fit with his political goals, which has to do with getting Britain back into the EU. And you get these people that come along and they've had a little bit of experience, but not really enough to know what's going on. They've been in a country where they didn't understand it, and they act like experts on everything. And that was going on with the British ambassador. So there, some perspectives on a few different things. Love you. See you tomorrow.